Welcome to this episode of the PER On Air Ophthalmology Times podcast. In today's podcast, you'll hear from a panel of experts who presented a continuing education program on neurotrophic keratitis at the Envision Summit, held earlier in 2024 in Puerto Rico. Neurotrophic keratitis, or NK, occurs where the nervous system meets the cornea and innervation to this tissue becomes interrupted. The normally very sensitive cornea becomes less so, and serious damage can ensue. The faculty from this NK program share insights into the causes of NK, as well as its diagnosis and management. First up, ophthalmologist Angela Zhu talks about common underlying causes of NK in pediatric patients, and ophthalmologist Himani Goyal discusses disease or patient-related factors that can make NK treatment more difficult.
With pediatric patients, the congenital conditions are definitely a lot more common than in adult cases. In general, congenital etiologies of NK are still rare. So keep in mind that this is still not the largest category, even in some of the case series for pediatric patients. Intracranial kind of neurosurgical tumors are still one of the most common reasons as well. But for specifically congenital causes, they're kind of in three categories. It's usually kind of isolated trigeminal nerve developmental issues, such as isolated trigeminal nerve hyperplasia, or syndromes, such as ectodermal mesenchymal maldevelopment syndromes, the dysautonomia syndromes like Riley Day, Mobius syndrome, Goldenhar, those are all commonly described. And then there's other systemic conditions, such as congenital insensitivity to pain syndromes, that are not quite maldevelopment, but kind of altered altered sensation of the NK or of the corneal nerves that can lead to similar presentation with NK. A lot of times these conditions, you know, kids in general, they don't complain. They don't necessarily have systemic kind of issues that they kind of showcase at a very young age. So it's often not until they get into the ages that these kids are a little more mobile, and that generally people start noticing, you know, kind of the normal reflexes that aren't present. So a lot of kids, you know, from birth, obviously, they're not as mobile. And then as they get into the toddler ages, they start getting reactions that parents will start realizing are not as typical as they expect. Things like they may go ahead and touch hot things, or they may try to on purpose kind of scratch or rub their eyes, which in other kids is a reflex to not do it because it hurts. So it often is the case that it's not until kind of age one or two that these syndromes are really present.
The factors that can make treating NK difficult is, in my experience, usually this is something that happens at older age and as diseases progress, right? So diabetes can be related to this. And the way that diabetes causes NK or neurotrophic keratitis is by affecting the nerves. And it is a disease process that happens later on when the diseases are not under control. And so there are usually other factors that are happening that can make either the dexterity for the patient or any factors like that to make it difficult. The other part is that sometimes they don't really feel, right? That's what neurotrophic keratitis is, that they're not actually having normal sensation. And because they don't feel pain as other patients do, it may be difficult to assess the progress in how well we're improving the disease as well.
A hallmark of NK is reduced corneal sensitivity, leading to the description stain without pain. Testing the patient's cornea using a device such as an esthesiometer or a cotton wisp is central in diagnosing NK. Optometrist Jackie Thies and ophthalmologist Zaina Almatasev offer insights into when in the examination process to do this testing and why having a readiness to do it in patients with potential NK is a good idea.
I often ensure that I test corneal sensitivity prior to any type of instillation of anesthetic for my patients by staining first. So I always like to use sodium fluorescein staining or alyssamin green stain, and I use an artificial tear to lubricate the strip that I'm using rather than using a combination drop. And the reason for that is because the anesthetic itself can cause some damage to the cornea, which would be artificial to what I'm evaluating for. And so the way that I ensure that I'm testing patients' corneal sensitivity before anesthetic is that I'm going to stain first. And if a patient has any type of staining, I'm going to test corneal sensitivity before I put anesthetic in. The other thing is if the patient, right, so because when we think about neurotrophic keratitis, we're thinking about that patient who has stain without pain. So if you stain first, you will always ensure that if there's staining, you are then going to do corneal sensitivity testing before you use anesthetic to do any further examination. If you're looking at somebody who might have neurotrophic cornea, but not yet have keratitis, the best thing that you're going to be able to do to ensure that is to either always be in a habit of testing for corneal sensitivity prior to putting in an any type of anesthetic, or what you could do is make sure that you do a good case history to rule out any risk factors for patients who are more likely to have neurotrophic corneas so that you ensure at least that subpatient group who's more likely to have a neurotrophic cornea will be tested even if they don't stain on exam.
I think it is important, number one, to learn how to diagnose NK and how to do corneal sensitivity testing. You know, most people are not utilizing the Bonnet-Gaucher testing. They're actually using things like floss or a cotton tip applicator. And it's important to know, you know, how long the wisp needs to be for the cotton tip, or how do you hold your floss? And also to understand how the patients will respond when they have normal sensation and when they have decreased sensation. And so for patients who have pretty bad ocular surface disease or dry eye, one, a good reason to do it is you might diagnose neurotrophic keratitis that was masked by all the other causes of issues with the ocular surface. But number two, so that you can know what it entails or what that response is. It's kind of like, you know, teaching my techs how to check pressure. You want to do it on all patients, not just glaucoma patients, so that you get really good at understanding how to diagnose. But you'd be shocked how many patients you would diagnose with neurotrophic keratitis if you just started doing that testing.
Next, Dr. Zhu and Dr. Almataseb discuss why early diagnosis and treatment of patients with NK is so important.
One thing I would just like to emphasize is that now there really are a huge variety in treatment options. And so the earlier we can diagnose it, the better. So even though, you know, kind of in the past, some of the theory was that because there weren't great treatment options for NK, you know, no one really thought to preemptively test for sensation because it didn't matter necessarily whether or not they had sensation, we couldn't do anything about it. But now that we have all these options, we have nerve growth factor, we have, you know, many new topical treatments on the horizon, we have surgical treatments that are definitive. I think it's more and more important to identify these people that are higher risk for progression at a younger and earlier stage. So anytime you see someone with kind of chronic, you know, ocular surface dryness or recurrent epithelial defects, instead of kind of just treating it with lubrication and protective conservative measures, I think it's important to at some point early on test to see if sensation is impaired and is the underlying cause of the issue, because then there are many more options that are opened up to really help and prevent further progression. So I think the early diagnosis is really becoming more key to the treatment.
I don't like to have a delayed or non-healing epithelial defect that's delayed. And part of that is, you know, there is a risk of anterior stromal scarring. There is a really high risk of infection if the patient has a non-healed epithelial defect. So I'm pretty aggressive early on in a patient that has stage two or stage three neurotrophic keratitis with things to heal that surface as soon as possible. And really those are the two reasons, is long-term damage like scarring, but really the high risk of infection if you don't treat it.
And finally, Dr. Almataseb and Dr. Goyle discuss short and long-term therapies for patients with advanced NK and ways to optimize the use of synedrimin in some of these patients.
When I look at neurotrophic keratitis treatments, I view it as short-term therapy and long-term therapy. So when I say long-term therapy, it's really trying to treat the etiology or having something to prevent recurrences of the breakdown of the epithelium. And some of the long-term therapies would include synegermin, for example, because it increases sensation, or corneal neuronization, which also helps with increasing sensation. But that takes time. It takes time to get the eye drops, or it takes time to do the surgery. And then again, the 6 to 8 week treatment course. And then I look at during that time, during that first couple of months, when you diagnose that patient, it's important to also have a short-term therapy. And I'm pretty aggressive in treating these patients, especially if there's a non-healing epithelial defect. And some of the short-term therapy would be a bandage contact lens or amniotic membrane or layered amniotic membrane. So either the dry that you do in your clinic or taking them to the operating room. And I do it all at the same time while I'm thinking of long-term therapy. You know, a couple of other things that are really successful are PRGF or serum tears that help these patients heal the surface. And then, of course, schedule them to fit into a scleral lens, which is another really great long-term treatment.
Synegermin is quite different from our other topical treatments for neurotrophic keratitis. It is a nerve growth factor, right? So to my knowledge, this is the first topical treatment that we have of its class. It is amazing because it is an eye drop and it promotes growth of those nerves that are affected in neurotrophic keratitis. So there's not any substance that you're introducing into the eye in terms of a bandage contact lens or a foreign material, which you need to also worry about harboring bacteria. You know, as an eye drop, it is a medication that has not been available to us until this time.
Thank you for joining us for this PER On Air Ophthalmology Times podcast.